each one take decisions that bring fruit in our lives. And so when others see our fruit, they want to follow. What kind of impact and influence are we offering around? And so we will look at the top leaders in history. When we look at the people that led other people, the number one is the one that we count the years after. What happened 2,000 years ago? We had the Son of God on earth, Yeshua, meaning Jehovah saves. And number two, we have Moses, that God gave the guidance for his people, and he led the people out of slavery into the promised land, freedom and multiplication. And number three, we have David, the king of Judah, the one that united all the people and led to a period of peace, having one of his sons, the son of peace, Solomon, leading. And so, what are we learning from this history in a such a way that we take the best decision for our life and the people around us, our family, our assembly? And so I composed this hymn, which is the leader's hymn, and it has basically the stanza saying, what is leadership, how we lead, and what we have because of good leadership. And so my name is Christian Padreau, and you'll find on Relate Forever the resources in order to be the best leader you can be. So let's start. In Psalm 78, Tehillim, Asaph is writing, with upright heart he shepherded them and guided them with skillful hand. Heart, hand, and the head. The head has an upright heart and a skillful hand. Why? In order to shepherd, to guide, to lead. Where? In order for people to be fed and continue healthy, because when we are healthy and united, we multiply. So we see David and Moses learn how to shepherd directly with animals, with the flock. And they were carrying and leading them for pasture, protecting them. So do you see yourself as a protector, as a provider, just like God is offering both to you? Do you see how God is protecting us and He's providing us? And then we see in the Proverbs 11:14, it is written, where there is no guidance, people fall. Yet in an abundance of counselor, there is safety. When you have wise counsel around, you are safe. You're grounded. And so, we are influenced by the people around us. Who are your three most close friends? Jesus had John, Peter, and James. And then he had the other apostles. And he influenced them. And He is influencing us. So how about pick Jesus Christ, the anointed Yeshua, as your number one counselor? And then you have all these apostles and all these people of God, and you can learn wisdom from the past in order to have the power in the present and take the decision how to love in the future. So we would look at the words of Jesus in Mark 8, Matthew 16 and 20. There's a composite I put together, and He said, who will be great among you must be your servant, and whoever would be first among you must be your slave, because even the Son of Man came not to be served but to serve and to give His life as a ransom for many. So service is love, because it's giving energy in order to do something for other people, just like giving things or giving teaching information that is building up one another, is helping, is like light guiding, opening up doors. And so we saw how he had around him and he was along with his apostles, just like a father with the family, just like a leader in the church with the members of the assembly, together serving, and love is giving. So giving, this is how we give our life, spending time together, investing in one another. And so I took a decision here to avoid unfruitful information from politicians and religious people, because this is divisive. When a religious group or a party, they divide themselves in order to unite the people, and true unity is found only in Christ, in the Messiah, in the Anointed One. If we have to choose one group, one party to be part members of, choose to be part of the Kingdom of Heaven, which on earth is the body of Christ, is the Church of Christ, is the assembly of the Anointed One. And so this is where true unity bear fruit, and it's not divisive. It's you seek unity, and the pillar and ground of the truth is the church, and the foundation and the building, when we look at how we build one another, we are different in order to complete each other. So I saw people from two nations there. The politicians say there's war between these two nations, but people from these two nations are united in Christ. I saw them in the same congregation, loving one another, serving one another, being friends. Because it's not about what the politicians or the media is saying, it's not about the division in between the religious groups, it's how to be disciples of Christ united. And so this is the encouragement I get from the leadership that I see in Yeshua and the leadership that we are providing for the people. So John 13, where Jesus is saying, "You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, for I am. If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet." So those who have been baptized for the decision, "I believe that Yeshua is the Son of God, is the one that has all the authority and power and dominion in heaven and on earth. He can deliver me spiritually from death and sin, but also physically He can heal and help me. So I put all my trust in Him. He is my Lord, He is my Savior, He is my teacher, He is my doctor, He is my professor. He is the all in all. And I was washed clean by my sin in baptism, and I was sealed with the Holy Spirit." And it's interesting how in John here he's talking about, you are clean, but you still need to confess to one another, to share the ideas, the thoughts, the temptations. Why? To put everything into the light and be protected and find the righteous path. If you want anything, you just need to confess and see, is it righteous? Number one. And if it is, okay, number two, how can I fulfill it in such a way I can honor God the best way possible? And this takes teamwork. And he said, "For I have given you an example that you also should do just as I have done to you. Truly, truly, I say to you, a servant is not greater than his master, nor a messenger greater than the one who sent him. If you know these things, blessed are you if you do them." Use it or lose it. So we want to continue into fulfilling his commandment to love one another, to confess to one another, to pray one for another. And so we look at the angels, we look at the prophets, we look at the people of God. We are messengers. Disciples are messengers. We are giving what was written. We don't have to invent a new sermon. We just have to read the scriptures to as many people as possible. And as they obey, as they decide to follow Jesus, as they hear and believe, they repent and are being baptized, and so we continue to congregate and convert others. This is the good news, that we can live eternally, and together we team up for this. So, in Ephesians chapter 4, we can look now at what the apostles were writing to the disciples. And so, Ephesians chapter 4, Ephesians is a letter of unity. And it is written that God gave apostles, prophets, evangelists, elders, and teachers for the perfection of the saints, maturing in view of the work of service, for the building up of the body of the Anointed One. So why we have different gifts is in order to build one another up, to grow the church, to advance the kingdom of heaven on earth. And men can recognize it. We recognize one another's gifts, but it's God who gave them. And so, what is your gift? What is your role in the church? And who is a good example that you can model in that talent in order to sharpen it, in order to make it the best, to perfect it, to mature it? And we see now the difference in between these roles, because when you have clear your role, then you can set appropriate goals. And this is where success comes from. So when you clearly define this, because the world will always try to confuse people, and confusing the roles, people set inappropriate goals, and that's where conflict comes, because it's not in order. So, if you're a man, you're a man. If you're a woman, if you're a woman. If you're a child, you're a child. A child needs to have information from the elders, from the elderly. Righteous information, not all kind of information. So, in order to remain pure, in order to remain clean in their thinking, in their words, in their deeds. And so, you look at the map of life and you see, okay, we have four seasons. You split the life in 20 years chunks. And you see spring, summer, autumn, and winter, and you say, I'm here. And so, what would be the best use of my resources right now? What kind of appropriate goals I can set in this period of time? Okay, so if you're like in your 20s and you're a man, how to grow as a man to be as masculine as possible? And to serve others, to work hard. And so we will look at the difference in between the evangelists, deacons, and elders. And deacons in chapter 6 of Acts, it is written that the 12 apostles, and the apostles were like evangelists or preachers, but the ones that were in the presence of Jesus Christ physically, in the presence of Yeshua. And that's the distinct nature of an apostle. And they were empowered directly with imposing hands, and they had miracle powers in order to confirm that, number one, well, Jesus made the miracles to confirm that He's the Son of God and to fulfill all the prophecies, and number two, He gave to the first generation of the apostles in order to confirm that the good news is for all the nation, not just for the Jews, but that was fulfilled. And so now we have these apostles gathering the crowd of the disciples and saying, it is not appropriate for us to leave the word of God to serve at the tables. So brethren, choose from among you 7 well-spoken men, full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom, which we will put to this job. So they were helping the widows and orphans, those that were in need from the congregation there, of the disciples, in such a way that the deacons were serving physically, but the apostles and the evangelists were serving more speaking, teaching. And so it's very interesting, because we see in Acts 8 that Philip was one of these 7, and he was preaching also the good news about the kingdom of God, and about the name of Jesus, the Anointed One, and they were being immersed, men and women alike. So the fruit of the preaching is people are being baptized as others for the forgiveness of sins. And the moment then also they receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. So we look at Acts 8, and Philip spoke from the scriptures to this man that was seeking, and he understood that Yeshua is the Son of God, and he said, I want to be baptized. And so after that, Philip continued to preach the gospel in all the cities he was passing through. And in Acts 21, we read that they entered in the house of Philip, the evangelist, who was one of the seven deacons, and stayed with them. So we see that a deacon can also be a preacher. And so it's a dynamic in between them. It's not just one thing. And also a preacher can serve. But it feels like, okay, the number one priority is to teach and then to serve. And that was the priority for them, to go and preach and teach. And the difference, the distinction is that preaching is to say what you need to do in order to be saved. And the teaching is more like explaining why to do things and how to do it in order to remain saved, in order to be saved, to be holy. And we see in Hebrews 13, remember your leaders who spoke the word to you, and consider their outcome of their life, and imitate their faith. So we know faith comes by hearing the word of God. Who wants to grow in trust, in confidence, in knowledge, in wisdom? Remain in the scripture. And on relate number four, ever resources, we go through the whole history of God from Genesis to Revelation every year. And join, because you will see the principles and how to practice them in your situation, in your location. But now, if you already heard the word, think about the people that you spoke the word to, and you led them to God, closer to God, and how you've done this by faith, and how they came to faith because of this, and the dynamic and the relationship and the connection, it's so special. And continue to do this. Continue to speak to people. And if you never heard of it, or if you know someone that never heard about this call, how to live the life here and how to be prepared for eternal life, share these recordings with them so that they hear the spoken word. And so let's move forward to the elders. And in Acts 14, when they appointed elders in every church, after they had prayed and fasted, they entrusted them into the hands of the Lord in whom they had believed. So these requirements or requisites of to appoint an elder, we will read them later, but we see that they appointed in every congregation elders. And in Acts 15, the apostles along with the elders gathered together to see what to be done in order to give guidance to the new brethren from the Gentiles that were not Jews, because they did not have to be circumcised like the Jews. They just had to repent and be baptized. And so we see that they had a council. That's how they were serving. And so they chose some messengers to send them, and they wrote a message to the brethren from the Gentiles. And we see the encouragement in Acts 20 for the elders to pay careful attention to yourself and to all the flock, to all the assembly in which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to care for the church of God which he obtained by his own blood. So an elder is like an overseer. He sees over, he sees, he's caring. His why is overseeing? To protect and provide. And so, in James chapter 5, we see that if anyone is sick, call the elders of the assembly. Why? To pray for him. And after they anoint him with oil in the name of the Lord, Yeshua, which means Jehovah saves, we know that God is providing the healing. I've done this and I saw this so many times. But we need to do our part. Like James is saying, if you lack wisdom, ask. We need to ask. Wisdom is available. God knows and He has solution for every problem. We have physical problems, spiritual problems, emotional problems, intellectual problems, financial problems, whatever problem you have, God already has the solution, but we need to ask His guidance, His wisdom. Please show us. What's the escape? How can you save me from this? And so that's why we invoke the name Yeshua. Jehovah, save me. And so we see that they, just like all the priests were in Israel supposed to go to check the wound, and so like a doctor, and the same is the elders have to do this part of praying and anointing someone and see how God is restoring health. Obviously, so many times there's a lifestyle, and especially nowadays, you need to watch the way you eat to have clean nutrition and the way you move. Now, a lot of the problems nowadays because of staying inactive too much, so you need to be active. And we see that elders were also teaching. And so in 1 Corinthians 12, God appointed the apostles first, second the prophets, and third the teachers, and then the others. And we know that the apostles were in the first century, and also prophecies ceased because we have all the revelation. Everything was revealed. And so in 1 Corinthians 13, all the prophecy ceased. And so what we have nowadays is teachers. So the elders who teach are the highest higher-ups, so to speak, in the church, are the ones that has the most authority and responsibility before God. And that's why James in chapter 3 is saying, my brothers, do not be many teachers, because you know that we will receive a more strict or harsher judgment. And so we need to be accurate and righteous examples. And so that's why the composites from Titus and Titus 1 and 1 Timothy 3 and 2 Timothy 2 and 1 Peter 5, it shows, it paints a picture, it helps us understand, comprehend the values of eldership, of leadership. So Paul is saying to Titus the evangelist, I left you that you will set in order. So when it's order, you have peace. And God is a God of order. What remains? And appoint or ordain elders in every city. And we pray so that in every city there's, number one, an assembly, and number two, eldership, leadership. And pray for the families that may qualify to be open to the gospel. And then as they receive the gospel and they are being baptized, there's a period of time that they prove they're faithful, they're righteous. And it may take a few years, but they will qualify to serve as an elders, as counselors. So if any man is above reproach, the husband of one wife, having faithful children who believe and not accused of dissipation or rebellion, for the overseer must be above reproach as God's steward, not self-willed, not quick-tempered, not given to wine, not pugnacious or violent. It's more like mercy and kind, not given to dishonest gain, but hospitable, loving what is good, sober-minded, just, holy or devoted, self-controlled, disciplined, holding fast to the faithful word. So if you have this you'll be able to both exhort in sound doctrine and refute those who contradict. And have these values on your wall. Write a poster and write over there, discipline, faithful. And as we wake up in the morning, you see these values and you know, I am faithful, I am disciplined, I am able to teach and guide and help others. Because this is a trustworthy statement. If any man aspires to the office of an overseer, like a bishop or elder or presbyter, but overseer, like a, it is a good work to desire. So it is good as a man to aim for that. Even if you're a boy and you don't have yet 20 years old, aim for that. Have your goal in life. I will live my life in a such a way I will serve as an elder one day. Obviously, you will start as a minister, just administering, managing the gifts God gives you. And the most important one is communication, how you articulate your thoughts in a such a way that you get along the message of God. It's already written. God the Father taught His Son what to say and how to say it. And He taught us what to say and how to say it. We are so equipped. We have this. And if you're baptized, you have the Holy Spirit and you have the Scriptures. So it's getting easier when you think about all the blessings you already have. So it continues to say that he's above reproach, husband of one wife and temperate, prudent, respectable, hospitable, able to teach, gentle, peaceable. And he's managing his own household well. And he's not a new convert. What's it's new? Sometimes it's 1 year, but it doesn't say how long. It's not new. And he said the new one can become conceited and fall into the condemnation. And he has to have a good reputation all around. And the Lord's bondservant must be not quarrelsome. We see it's not emotional. He's controlling his emotion. He's using his emotion to push his boundaries, to work out, both physically and spiritually, to be mature. So, kind to all, able to teach, knowing the Scripture, knowing the points, but patient and gentle, correcting. Right? Correcting those who oppose, so that God may grant repentance leading to knowledge of the truth, so that they may come to their senses and escape from the snare of the devil, having been held captive by him for doing his will. So when you see even in the nowadays, most people are being held in all kind of traps and snares, and the only chance for them to be relieved, to be free, is for us to tell them the truth. So God bless you in this endeavor. And in 1 Peter chapter 5, Peter is exhorting the elders as a fellow elder and witness of the suffering of Christ. So he's establishing as both elder. We read that he had a wife and also a witness. So he was a witness of Christ, but also partake of the glory that is to be revealed in the future. So shepherd of the flock, shepherd the flock of God. So guide the flock of God, protect and provide, exercising oversight, not under compulsion, but voluntarily. We do this voluntarily. It's not violence, it's voluntary. And this is the Christian relationships. According to the will of God. This is the will of God. You want to want this. According to the will of God. And so, not for gain, but with eagerness. not as lording it over those allotted to your charge, but proving to be an example to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the unfading crown of glory. The glory is like the kavod, the presence of God. You know, when you are, have the almighty, all power, power to do anything around you, surrounding by the presence of God, the glory. This is leadership. You feel safe, you feel you can get help in the presence of an elder. In the presence of the elders, it's just like in the presence of God, when two are coming together into His name, He's there. So that's why it's important to have two elders coming together into the name of Yeshua, into the name of Jesus, praying and anointing. And we see the glory of God. We feel safe. We know that we are protected and provided. That's, we are as elders, but also youth, likewise, be subject to your elders. And all of you, clothe yourself with humility towards one another. For God is opposing to the proud, but gives grace to the humble. You want to have grace, and not God opposing you. And so, I will conclude this time in prayer for those who are listening as a blessing, in order to lead and take the best decisions of your life. And so, Heavenly Father, thanks so much for a great example of how you led your people to Moses from the land of bondage into the promised land where they multiplied and they conquered. Thank you for using David, and he was humble, and he also fight, and help us be strong and fight these battles every day. Number one, with the flesh and the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh and the pride of life. And thank you for Yeshua just equipping us how to deal with all these three types of temptations. Basically, all temptations are related to all this. So please empower through the Holy Spirit and through the Scripture the man so that they remain in the Scripture. And it's such a great feeling of unity when we read together the same Scripture, knowing that all the brothers throughout the world were reading the same Scriptures, and we look how to apply, how to remain, how to use it. So please give them the light, give them just opening up understanding about the Scriptures and preparing them for every good work. Bless them, Father, each and every leader, to have that preparedness and continue to train first thing in the morning in your word, working out, getting stronger and stronger. Just like Caleb, he was like in his 80s, like in my 40, I'm strong, and he went to fight. Help us, Father. Now this generation is being attacked. Help men be masculine. Just strengthen them, Father. And as they pray and seek you, help them find you through prayer, through fasting, through charity. And Father, we recognize you. You are the Almighty. You are the Eternal. I am who I am. I was and I will be. Jehovah, we recognize you as the only true living God. We praise you for being the only true living God. And thank you for showing us your name, Jehovah. Showing us your Son, Yeshua. Knowing that salvation and deliverance is in your power. And we recognize it and we believe that He connected all the miracles, these miracles that He had done 2,000 years ago through your power. You've done these miracles through Him in order to have our sins forgiven. It's such a great example. He lived His life here in this polluted world, and He overcame. Thank you for Yeshua. Thank you for Jesus, Jesus. We call Him in different languages, but we know it's Yeshua. And He is the Lord. He is the Anointed One. He has all the power. And thank you for providing to each and every one of us the opportunity to change, to repent, to transform. Please bless each and every one today to replace what's necessary in their life. A thought, a word, a deed. Every day, if they say, okay, from 1 to 10, 1 being I almost have nothing, and 10 I'm full of faith, wisdom, love, power, strength. Help them, Father, grow. I mean, they can say, well, Chris, I'm about 6. Okay, help them get to 7. Help them get to 8. Help them get to 9. Help them get to 10. And help them help those around them grow and get closer to you, get closer to one another. And thank you for the salvation. It's a great hope we have that whatever happens into this world, we're saved. We have a place over there with you in heaven. We have our name written in heaven. Thank you for providing this baptism in the name of Yeshua, that's the moment when he was baptized as an adult. We saw also after he came out, we came out clean, and then the Holy Spirit, the clean Spirit, came to him. So we know we're sealed with the Holy Spirit. Help us through the Spirit, just encourage one another with scripture every day, and so that the Spirit is rejoicing and is helping us fulfill the commandments. He's helping us pray. Thank you for this great communication. We praise you for giving us the Holy Spirit. We are so blessed. We have the scriptures written. We have the Holy Spirit. And we have one another. Help us, Father. Come every time when two brothers are coming together for a purpose, help them just come into the name of Yeshua and say, we are here in the name of Jesus. And His presence is here. The glory is here. The power of God is here. And show your power, Father. Restore power in every congregation. And please, Father, help us continue to be united through the Holy Spirit, through the bond of peace. We need to keep it. It's already there. The unity is there for all those who are being baptized into the body of the anointed one. Help us continue, because just like in marriage, when we're united, you provide children. You bless us with fruit. And we make disciples when disciples are being united. So please help the disciples be united and bear good fruit. Pray, Father, for the leaders. Continue to strengthen them and raise up more leaders, Father. Please bless all the men that are in Christ to take that decision today, Father. I want to get stronger. I want to get sharper. I want to repent and be the man that can be written down in history and leave the legacy as a man of God that led and served and protected and provided in my city, in my location. And please, Father, where I'm praying also for those who don't know what we're talking about, they don't know you, they don't know about all these things, and they are suffering right now into the world. I'm praying for these children and boys and men everywhere, Father. I pray for each and every one, Father. Help them. So one of us to get to them with this message. There's a purpose in life, to know the Creator, to know God. There's a mission in life, to make Him known. And He wants you to be part of this today. And help them, Father, get to the purpose and mission in life with their hearts. We are praying for them, Father, so that even if we don't meet in this life, or we meet in this life, we will meet in heaven. And we will know it was because of your mercy, because you connected us, because you sent someone, just like you sent your Son, just like you sent your people to call others from darkness to light, from death to life. I pray, Father, in the name of Yeshua, to you, Jehovah. Christian Pedro here in Euphoria, Europe. Amen. God bless you.